Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, and this particular episode is the monthly bonus episode, and we're recording it on Thursday, December 28th, 2023. Only one more show left this year. We're taping this Saturday, December 30th, at the Punchline in Sacramento at 4:20. My guests today, though, are two current champs and one eternal champion in my heart, and they are Bill Squire, Jeff Tate, and Andy Wood. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's meet them all individually and alphabetically by first name. He is a Jeopardy champion, a comedian, a science lover. He is Andy Wood.
Hey, glad to be here.
Where are you, Andy, and why?
I am in Joshua Tree, where I reside 90% of the time now.
Yeah. You crazy desert dweller.
It's pretty weird. I mean, I definitely jinxed myself when I moved out here right when COVID hit, because I was like, maybe I'll just wait out this whole COVID thing in the desert and turn into a desert weirdo, and then 4 years later here I am still. So
and you know, the Wi-Fi out there is great, I understand.
Sure, always good. Yep.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Our next guest won in his very first appearance on this show a couple of months ago in Cleveland in November at Dunlap's Corner Bar, and his name is Bill Squire. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm also in Joshua Tree, but Cleveland, the Joshua Tree of the Rust Belt.
I see. Every area deserves to have its own Joshua Tree, because, you know, you two needs more than one place to sing about. Have you come down from the high of winning in November, Bill?
No, I've just been riding that. Like, that's everywhere I go, I tell people. Even if they don't ask, especially if they don't ask, I say I won Doug Loves Movies and I beat Ramon, and he's been on the show a bunch of times and I haven't. So that's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, sir, why are you at the stake here?
Well, I appreciate you joining us once again, and good luck today, because also joining us is a man who will be joining me to interrupt Fast X at the Great Star Theater in San Francisco as part of SF Sketchfest on Sunday night, January 21st. SFSketchfest.com for tickets. His name, can't chant, nobody's going to chant it today, but it does happen every time he appears in person, Jeff Tate. Hey, Jeff.
Hello. Thank you very much. We should pause so that people can finish their chanting in their cars.
Right. Everybody should practice chant for the next time they see you in person.
Is it just this one syllable first and last? Is that why it's so chantable? Is that why I don't get chanted?
It's true. It is very chantable. But the audiences at my shows are so nice that if you bring up, hey, it's not fair of you to chant for Jeff and not these other people, they will try to chant for other people. But it's true. Like, the more complicated the name, the harder it is to chant it.
Yes.
But Jeff, have you ever done stand-up somewhere where it made the other comedians go, what the fuck is happening, when audience members just started chanting your name?
Yeah, every single time it happens when I do stand up, I then have to explain it generally.
Yeah, because the other comics are just like, God damn, they like him this much and he just walked out on stage.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's very fun when it happens and then I bomb.
Yeah, oh my God.
Tell us about those times, please.
One was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's you never know when the bombs are going to go. You know, you could do stand up forever, but you just can't see it coming a lot of times. Or you do see it coming, but you just still have to go through with it, you know. So you just won the show a couple episodes back, I think. And so you're on, this is like your third appearance on this winning streak.
Yes.
Nice. I should say, I'm not going to lie, Jeff, your competitors are formidable.
Yes.
This is Sam Levine aside, this is like potentially like top three players, at least of people who have been on the show recently. But before we play the games today, let's go to Recommendation Nation, where I have you each recommend a movie. But since it's the end of 2023, I'd like each of you to tell me your favorite movie of 2023. Was I asking that yet when you were on the last time, Jeff?
No.
Okay, good. So you don't have to double up. Or maybe you will double up. I don't know. I don't remember what you recommended last time. But let's start with Andy. What was your favorite movie in 2023, dude?
I'm not saying this is the best movie, but the most fun I had watching a movie this year was No Hard Feelings, the Jennifer Lawrence sex comedy.
I will not fight you on that. I watched it on a plane, so they cut out they didn't cut out the crazy nude scene, but it's just like everything moves quicker and you just don't, you really don't see anything, but you get the idea of everything that happened. They do. It's a pretty good edit. I think it's probably an edit made by the filmmakers and not just randomly made for airlines. But so I watched it all the way through and didn't get to see that part. And then my girlfriend hadn't seen it yet. So I was like, I'll watch it again if you want to watch it. And, it wasn't that much like, oh, wow, it's crazy to actually see the nudity. You know, it didn't change it that much, really.
No, no.
But bless her for being not only hilarious throughout the movie, but then also that ballsy to do a naked fight scene.
I would say this, without that scene, I still thought it was just a great, like, legitimately funny.
Oh yeah, and the rest comedy of the movie can follow it, because I'm sure that like the reaction to it must have been explosive in theaters when people did go. Unfortunately, it's seen as a rom-com, so I don't know how often it had like a packed theater. It was mostly awkward couples watching it probably, but it's just the jokes and her demeanor. Jennifer Lawrence, please, I know she listens to this show, please make more, keep doing comedy.
Yes.
You know?
I legitimately was blown away by how good she is in I didn't know she could do comedy. And it had so many laugh out loud moments. The character is great also. I feel like we don't see a lot of characters like that. like it's great to see people breaking down walls. Like, I think women should be able to play kind of shitheads, kind of fuck ups. You know, it's more interesting than having it be just like you're a flawless hero out of the gate. Like, no, that's not interesting storytelling. And yeah, she was so great in it.
I liked the fact that her sympathetic, the character you're most sympathetic to is her ex-boyfriend, because she's obviously just treated him horribly. And he's played by the guy that's always the shithead in other things, because Eben Moss Bachrach or whatever his name is, he is on Girls, he was just insufferable, and he's also pretty annoying in The Bear.
Still haven't seen The Bear. I gotta see The Bear.
Oh my god, dude. It is both great and frustrating, because it's just really, it really takes you into the horrible world of chefs and restaurants and kitchens. I mean, it's brutal. And the family Thanksgiving or Christmas, I think it was probably Thanksgiving, not sure. Anyway, the family gathering episode in season two is just some of the most brutal television I've ever seen. All right, so that's your choice. No hard feelings.
That's
I love it. Okay, Bill Squire, what was your favorite movie in 2023?
I mean, it's hands down got to be The Machine, right?
Really?
No.
I don't know you well enough to know that that was a joke. That was so funny.
I assumed you were in it. And that's what the joke was.
No, I'm just trying to get on the tour next year. Okay. My favorite. I didn't like. There's movies that I want to see. Like, I haven't seen The Iron Claw yet. I was meaning to see that this week.
That's
gonna be towards the top of my list. But No One Will Save You was probably my favorite, just because it was so. Like, I thought it was going to be one thing, and it was very different than what I thought it was going to be. And it was just like a pretty like gut-wrenching thriller.
People responded to it. For some reason, it didn't really work for me. But I feel like, you know, I just saw that Silent Night recently attempts a very similar thing where there's no dialogue. And Willy's Wonderland with Nick Cage, everyone else spoke in the movie, but his character just never spoke, even though he's in very long sequences of the movie with other people standing around. So I just think I'm averse to that. I just think that, like, I want people to talk in a movie.
See, I do but talk that's radio just, that's 4 hours me, a though. Day.
Yeah. You're tired of the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You just want to watch a Quiet Place movies all day.
Exactly. Especially, all right. Also, because you don't know me that well, this is a joke. Also, a woman being quiet for 2 hours, sign me up.
Yeah. But that's the thing is, all those movies I mentioned, though, I just realized are a great recommendation for when somebody's on a plane and they have access to the imagery, but they don't have headphones.
Yeah.
So you don't have to hear it. I mean, of course you would want to hear the action noises and the music in those movies, but still, if you got to watch it without sound, that would be a movie to watch, you know, or the artist.
All right. I feel like if I'm in an airport and I don't have headphones, I'm going to pay the $200 to buy Beats out of a vending machine.
Right.
Because it's too miserable to be on a plane without headphones these days.
It is. And the people that do decide that you need to hear the game they're playing or the movie they're watching should just be a hole that drops them out of the plane and but safely to the ground. They have a parachute. All right.
Yeah. Yes.
I hate them, but I don't want to see them harm. Jeff.
This is tough. There was a lot of great movies this year, but I'm going to have to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Whoa. Teenage Mutant MTM. And wasn't one of the movies just the initials?
Oh, yeah. There was those
TMNT or something.
Like the early 2010s or whatever. There was a couple that were like heavy CGI, and they were like Michael Bay produced them or something. Those were not good. But this one was awesome.
It's animated. It's written by talented comedy writers, I get. I would assume. I haven't seen it, but I've pretty much just heard good things about it.
It's very entertaining, and they actually feel like teenagers, and not just like grown-ups. And
is that important to you, Jeff?
No, it just fits. Like the animation is cool. It's got that comic.
That's cool. I watched it too.
Spider-Man thing. Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, it's a good one. Does
Vanilla Ice appear in any capacity?
No spoilers.
No, but that song is referenced. They do reference the Go Ninja Go part.
I'm going to see this movie for sure. I think it'll be enjoyable. It's like, you know, it's produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and they rarely let me down, those guys. So I'm into it. These are three really interesting choices, like actual fun movies. Nothing, you know, nothing too heavy. I mean, I know that No One Will Save You is intense, but these are all, I think they're all on streaming too now. I know No Hard Feelings and No One Will Save You are. And if Mutant Mayhem isn't, it's definitely available for on demand, but I think it's going to be on streaming now or soon.
It's on Paramount Plus. Oh, jeez.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And Delta flights. So I don't know what you're into, but if you have Paramount Plus or you're about to fly on Delta,
okay,
check out TMNT Mutant Mayhem.
Then I'm all set. Because I've got Paramount Plus. flying on Delta is not. I think I might be able to live the rest of my life never flying on Delta. I might.
Wow.
Every once in a while, you'll get fucked over where, like, your airline, you know, is overbooked or something. And then you miss a connection and they'll just put you on another carrier. That's the only times I ever fly Delta. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Opposite of a plug. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was not not very pluggy. But I can't believe none of you said the new Spider-Man Across the Multiverse, because that keeps coming up in these conversations I have with people. People are crazy for the Spidey multi.
The first one, I think, legit should have been nominated for Best Picture of 2018 or 19. Like, it's too bad animation gets second billing, but this one is just not as good as the original. It's good, but the first one is so good. The second is just kind of cluttered. It's still cool to watch, but like,
interesting, because like people love it and they claim it's better than the first, you know.
I was annoyed that it ended on a cliffhanger. Because I was like, oh, now I gotta see another one of these, which is fine, but I was going in hoping to get like a whole story arc, and then like as I realized we were in the theater for so long, I'm like, oh, this isn't gonna end how I thought it was gonna end.
Do you mean with an ending?
Dune,
yeah,
Dune all over again, like a part of a movie,
right?
Part of a
right.
Story?
What is this? I mean, that's why I didn't say Mission Impossible, because I can't put the first half of this Mission Impossible movie is not better than an entire Ninja Turtles movie,
right? I hear you. Well, let's go to a break. Let's calm down, everybody, and. We'll be back to play some games in a few moments.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back, and the first game we're going to play today, out of two, is called ABCD's Nuts. Doug Loves Movies is coming to the Improv in Orlando, Florida on Saturday, January 6th at 4:20. So in honor of that coming up and as a way to plug it, let's spell Orlando. And by spell, I mean Andy's first. He'll name any movie that begins with O. Then we'll move to Bill. He gets the letter R. Then Jeff, letter L. And then all the way through the word Orlando. It's pretty short, but if you can't think of one, you're out. So I doubt that's going to happen with these three players. But if you match the title that I wrote down in advance that fits a particular theme that will be more clear as we go along, maybe. If you match me, then you just automatically win the game. We go to commercial and come back for our next game. It's kind of like Squid Game, the way like it just something could just happen. And end things or very early.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah. So we're going alphabetical by first name. So Andy is first up in spelling Orlando, the first O in Orlando. What movie? I know you just have to take a shot in the dark, but it's always fun. I think Jeff might have gotten the first movie one time.
Oh, I'm going to say... Oh, brother, where art thou?
Which is, that's how you have to, I don't know if you remember this, but back when you went to go see that movie in a theater, you had to say it that way to get the ticket.
I remember, boy, they were real sticklers then.
Oh, brother, were they?
I like the Winnie the Pooh version, oh, bother, where art thou, a little better.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Thanks for coming by, Eeyore. Okay, the O movie that I wrote down, I mean, how classic is this? Office Space. Ooh. You know, I wanted you to have a chance, you know what I mean? But we're on to the letter R and Bill.
All right, I'm going to go with Ratatouille just because that's what I had, but I'm trying to figure out this theme, though.
So just from
that is not space. On theme. Yeah, just from office space.
Potential cool. Themes. For my R, Ratatouille, of course, I always love a Ratatouille reference, but I went with a motion picture called Runaway Jury because it fits theme. The next letter to Jeff is L. Take the L, Jeff.
I'm going to say Love Actually.
Go to L, Jeff. Okay. Love Actually is a fun reference right now because we're just coming out of the Christmas season. And I just want to say to anybody who already misses the Christmas version of the theme song with Ricky and Kate, you know, I just play it. I feel like Christmas is over when Christmas Day happens, you know, or like I sort of think about it that way. So we went back to the regular theme for this episode. But if you missed that theme, just go back to one of the last episodes in December and, you know what I mean? Engineer your own show. What's happening? Oh, letter L. Here we go. And I wrote down Liberty Heights.
Liberty Heights.
Liberty Heights. Yeah. What is happening? A is the next letter. And this happens sometimes. Got to just go with the flow because the theme, I couldn't find a movie that begins with A that fits the theme. So this one's a TV show, Andy, for the letter A is a TV show.
I am not seeing any pattern, but I guess it'd be dumb to name a movie because I'm never going to get your, oh man. I had my movie and now I'm trying to think of an A TV show. the A Team.
All right. Well, in this game, we call movies that begin with we call that a T. Oh, but okay. Go ahead. You can try again. I won't disqualify you.
Oh my God! Why can't I, this can't be hard?
It kind
another
of is.
World. Another world. Another world. The Jasmine
The
guy.
TV. The TV soap opera called Another World.
Wait, I thought Another World. Oh, a different world. I meant a different world. I meant the Cosby spinoff. A different world.
So you're switching your answer from Another yes. world to a different
to
world.
A different world. Yes.
Lock it in.
Yeah.
That is the correct answer. It is.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is a different world, but I was so excited when you got it wrong with Another World, because that would have been such a sweet burn.
But, how did I get it? I don't know what the theme is. How did I get it right?
Because, you know, now I'm realizing when I devised this, I sort of thought, well, who's going to think of any TV shows that begin with A, you know? Alice. And what else begins with A?
Arnie Miller. As the world turns.
Yeah, another soap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so congratulations. The rest of the movies, because the rest of them are movies, are New Jersey Turnpikes for N. And then D is Drumline. And then for O, I couldn't think of something. I couldn't find a movie that applied to the theme. So I just wrote down Office Space again.
I think I know what the theme is.
What is it?
Are they Orlando Jones movies?
They are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So, right, Andy, there. That's what a brainiac you are, is you won without even knowing what the theme is.
I didn't know he was even in a different world. I wouldn't have thought he was already acting at that point.
Well, he also plays small parts in a lot of these things, you know, like a couple of them were like very early on in his career, you know.
I mean, even Office Space, man, just that.
Yeah, exactly. Office Space. I wouldn't even remember he's in it. But congratulations, Andy. You won that game. That was very, very, very impressive. And
do you want to hear some unlikely and also dumb?
Sure.
I had worked ahead and knew that D was going to be mine. And I was legitimately, I swear to God, I was going to say Double Take, which is just a different Orlando Jones movie that starts with D.
That's right. I went with Drumline just to give you guys a break at that point. You know, like maybe somebody would win. I didn't know it would happen in a different world.
I can't believe this is the weirdest. Yeah.
I was even bummed that I had to put a TV one in there, but like, you know, it's just such a funny concept to me to like say, let's play this game with a word Orlando. And then it's Orlando Jones movie. I was very committed to making that happen. And I look forward to being back in Orlando on Insurrection Day. All right. We will be, I know it's so, it sucks to have a show on January 6th.
Right, it should be a day of mourning.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't do, you're right, you're saying I should cancel the show.
do your
I mean,
show.
I always want to spend it with family, so I can see why being on the road for January 6th
that's true. I also get it. Know, nobody wants to travel on Jan 6 because you know everybody's headed somewhere. It's crazy.
Just get a bunch of guest speakers, go last, and then have everybody march up the mall.
No, we will. Oh, that'd be so funny. Like, we're gonna get the audience to be a march for something. I've never tried to do that. Like, Andy Kaufman used to do at his live shows. I even got to see him do it in person one time at UC San Diego. He was doing a show there in the auditorium, and he gets the entire crowd to like conga outside the building and go around the building and then, you know, eventually come back in, but just creates this gigantic, stupid conga line for no reason. And I went to the show that I went to, I didn't want to get in the conga line, but I went outside with the conga line and I just ran up to the front along where Andy Kaufman was at the front of the line and just like moved along right next to him. And Andy Kaufman looked at me like with a super panicked face, like, how do we get back in? You know, because it wasn't like you could just go directly around. So it was just funny me trying to give directions to a guy that has a 500-person conga line behind him. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back. And during the last live audience show, at the lab at the Hollywood Improv, we played a game. And when I emailed you guys about today, I asked you to make sure that you did not listen to that show, that the last live show we did. It might have been even the last show we did. Yeah. I asked you not to listen to it. Because of what I want to try today. But Andy, I never got a confirmation. Did you listen to the last episode to prep for today?
No.
Okay, good. Because that's what sometimes people just do that. They'll just listen to the most recent one. And I wanted to make sure none of you guys did that. Because we played a game. I didn't think it was easy, but I expected my guest to do better at it than they did. It was almost a little scary how they just we weren't really connecting. It might have been that it was too Christmassy and I had three guests that just happened to live those kind of lives where you're not that into Christmas, you know, so you maybe don't know Christmas movies that well. But anyway, I just wanted to play the game again with you guys and see how it goes, see if it goes better or the same as it did the other night. And I hope that the listeners will find that an entertaining idea instead of a, what, you're just going to play the same game again? I think it's interesting to see what's going to happen with a new set of players playing this. It's a game I had played once before, and Jeff was one of the, it was the last time Jeff won, he was involved in it. It's called IMDb XMAS, and was suggested by a listener. And on the page of every movie represented on the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, they list the top four cast members that are, you know, quote unquote, top billed above every movie. So Andy's going to go first. And then we'll go to Jeff, then to Bill, and then eventually back to Andy. Andy, I'll name the first actor or actress listed in their this particular Christmas movie or, you know, holiday movies top four. And then you make your first guess or pass if you don't have a guess. And then Jeff will guess and Bill will guess. If nobody gets it, then I'll give you guys the second name, et cetera, and we'll work through till all four names, which when we played last time, four of these titles, the contestants got to hear all four names and then still didn't come up with a title, the correct title. So, and it just freaked me out.
They got none of these?
Like, what's that?
They got none of these.
They got two of them. Oh. And I don't think they, yeah, those two were like, one of them was off of the first name and the other one was off of maybe also the first name. Yeah. So a couple of them ended up, but the, you know, it was weird. So let's give it a try. And thank you to everybody for indulging me. And we'll start with Andy. Good luck, gents. What movie do you think, for its number one slot in their top four build, that is a Christmas movie, so to speak, stars number one, Jim Carrey.
I think it's just called The Grinch, right? Or is it The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? The Grinch.
You're going with, are we on an exact title here? And you're going with The Grinch.
I think the movie was just The Grinch. The Grinch.
Okay. Incorrect. Jeff.
I will say Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I don't even want to dignify it with a, oh, what the hell. Incorrect. Bill Squire.
I believe it is Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That is the correct title of the one of the movie starring Jim Carrey, but that is not the movie I am looking for. Andy, second on the top four build, Gary Oldman.
I think on a past, I think this came up on a past show and I forgot if there's a special like after the colon. I think it's some version of a Christmas Carol colon Robert Zemeckis horrible animated.
Oh yeah.
A Christmas Carol. I don't know if it has a subtitle to it.
You're just going with just straight up A Christmas Carol.
I hope it's just that.
That is correct.
Nice.
Yeah. Right. Colin Firth and Steve Valentine are the other names in the top four. And that's the first of a few that my guests looked at me like they had no idea that that movie ever existed. They completely gaslighted me. And I had to be like, it was animated. Zemeckis was on an animated kick. He did Beowulf and Polar Express, or as I call it, you know, Fast Train to Hell. And, or I should say Slow Train to Hell would be more insulting, I guess. But anyway, congratulations for getting that one, Andy. Now we move on to round two. Jeff gets to go first. And the first person listed on IMDb is Mr. Bruce Willis.
I'm going to say Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
That is correct.
Yeah. What?
Well,
see,
done.
That's
yeah.
The kind of gameplay I look for, is that everybody blurts out Die Hard, but you got to be a real player to stop and think for a second. And then say Die Hard 2, because it also takes place at Christmas. And of course, it also stars Bruce Willis. They list William Atherton, Bonnie Bedelia, and then Reginald Vell Johnson as the next three. But I think all three of those, would you agree, Jeff, that they are just top billed just because they were all in the previous one? Because aren't their parts all kind of reduced in Die Hard 2?
Definitely. Yeah, William Atherton should not be second billed. And Reginald Vell Johnson is like in one scene. He like calls him on the phone and that's it.
Yeah.
He has to show how to use a fax machine.
Yeah. And I knew it was going to be a rough ride. Like I knew that like it's a fine movie, you know, and Rennie Harlan's not so bad. But I you know, it's definitely it's not as good as Die Hard. It's just not. But that was the first sign to me that it wasn't as good as Die Hard when he's, you know, said just the facts, ma'am.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah. It does have the facts. It does have one of my favorite lines in a movie is when he Bruce Willis yells at Dennis Franz or whatever. It says, what sets off the metal detectors first? The lead in your ass or the shit in your brains?
I thought it was a good sequel. I mean, it's not as good as the original Die Hard, but the ambush scene where all the SWAT team are going in all cocky and they get blown away by the painters working on Christmas Eve. Like, this is normal.
Yeah. And what's, you know, the bad guy doing his naked, moves, his naked yoga at the beginning is weird. And he's always great. But like, just the stakes are so much higher. An entire commercial airline flight blows up like very early on. It was just like, okay, you know, Nakatomi Plaza, there were some casualties, but holy shit, an entire plane. To me, it's like when Walter White was inadvertently responsible for an entire plane crashing in Breaking Bad. That was the where I still love the show, but I did not have any, you know, I hated the character henceforth after that happened, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah. It was because of a mourning father who was, I mean, he was tangentially responsible, right?
Yeah. No, it was definitely tangential, but he still, you know, didn't seem to really slow him down in his behavior at all.
That speech he gave when he compared it to the Tenerife crash was great, though. When he's like talking to a high school gymnasium, I was like, there have been worse crashes than this, you guys.
I also like that he hurt and destroyed so many lives, but people are like, but Skyler was mean. I hate Skyler.
Oh, no, that's what's so funny is he ended up like people loved him and hated her. And she's not the one doing all the horrible things. She's just,
right,
you know, reacting to it.
Yeah, like, I don't like her attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird for sure. Okay, round three. Jeff and Andy are on the board and Bill gets to go first on this one. Top build. What movie do you think this is that stars Kurt Russell?
Ooh, I'm gonna go. Ooh, the way the show works. I'm gonna go with The Christmas Chronicles.
That's a full title?
I believe so.
Locking it in?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Bang.
Andy?
I'm just going to take a stab. The Christmas Chronicles 2.
You want to lock that in?
I don't know if there is one, but yes.
You're saying The Christmas Chronicles 2.
Yes, I am.
Jeff.
I'm going to say Tombstone.
Hang on, let me get my noise ready. I'm sorry, the answer, did you know the working title of Tombstone was Mustache Parade?
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool. I still would have seen it,
right? Okay, we're back. Andy, wait, Bill gets another shot.
It's my turn. Okay, yeah. All right. Oof.
Oh, I got to give you the second name. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah,
because the second, we're back to the beginning. Okay, the second name after Kurt Russell is Goldie Hawn.
Oh, okay. What is it called? Overboard.
Nope.
Oh, no. We were in two movies together?
Andy.
I don't know if this might have taken place around Christmas time, but Captain Ron.
See, like, you guys are feeling this in a fun way at this point. Because you are guessing titles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're not just looking at me like, what are you talking about? Jeff?
Oh, man, what the fuck? Okay, so it's both of them. So I'm going to say The Chronicles of Christmas 3.
All right, back to you, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and give both names because they're a little, they're no help. They're no help, the remaining names. That's what I should have done, I think, with this game is I think it should have started with the most obscure of the four and worked up to, but I also just thought it was fun to have people start guessing just based off of the first name anyway, because these last names are just like who? Darby Camp and Julia Dennison, but doesn't even matter if I mispronounce their names. I'm sure they're no help. Do you have a final guess, Bill?
Oh boy, I'm gonna just go. I'm just trying to think of, I don't know, the thing. I can't even think of another movie.
John Carpenter's The Thing. Okay, yeah. Andy.
I I mean, I could just name her Big Trouble in Little China.
Jeff?
The Fox and the Hound.
This one was stupid. It's just you got screwed up by a technicality. The title of the movie that Andy was so close to is The Christmas Chronicles Part 2. Yeah, it was a dumb Part 2 thing. All right, so Bill, we're back to you. First up, top billed in this Christmas motion picture, Peter Billingsley.
I'm going to go with the theme of sequels. I'm going to go with A Christmas Story Christmas.
That is motherfucking correct.
Nice work.
Wow.
That's another movie where the last panel looked at me and insisted that I'm talking about a movie that doesn't exist.
I interviewed him last month, so.
Oh, my God. The fact that you even knew it was called A Christmas Story Christmas, I love it. I love it. See, now you can see the pattern here. With all of these movies, people were supposed to guess a wrong movie as their first guess.
First, yeah,
you're supposed
to
guess Grinch, Die Hard, the original Christmas Chronicles, the original Christmas Story. And instead, they didn't have that base to work off of. Mm-hmm. They didn't even know to do, you know what I mean? They didn't even know that much. So why would they be guessing sequels when they don't even know? You know what I mean? It was it was wild. Here we go. This is so exciting. We got a three-way tie. You've each got a point. And this one starts with Andy. Mila Kunis.
Oh. Mila Kunis is in a Christmas movie.
And don't forget to have a Merry Kunis, everybody.
I have bad moms.
Incorrect. Jeff.
A Bad Mom's Christmas.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's a movie?
That's not a movie. Called Getting the
That's
Hang
the sequel,
of It, Figuring It Out. Yes, it is the follow-up. It's called a Bad Mom's Christmas, which is hilarious to me to just have such weird words in front of and then just stick Christmas at the end. Did you guys ever see the sequel to The Revenant Christmas? Did you ever see Martin Scorsese's Silence 2 : Christmas?
I did.
All right. Now, this next one of my guests got immediately, which really was delightful and funny to me because it's a weird one. And Bill, you get to go first. Steve Martin.
I'm going to go with Mixed Nuts.
That's correct.
Wow.
Well done.
Love that movie.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I've been forgetting to finish off the Bad Mom's Christmas. The other names were Kristen Bell, Catherine Hahn, and Jay Hernandez. And then Mixed Nuts was a real movie starring Steve Martin and a cast of amazing, funny people, including the other three they put in here, Madeline Kahn, Robert Klein, and Anthony LaPaglia. And, Mixed Nuts. It was not, didn't turn out so good, that movie. But like I said, one of my guests, that was one of the ones that was guessed immediately. Andy and Jeff, would you have guessed that for Steve Martin, or were you already like, what?
I had it. I could picture a 90s movie, but I had it like confused with three other sort of middle of 90s things I didn't see. So
yeah. And the poster image that you might be familiar with is Steve Martin's face close up with it, but with one of those Santa hats on. And then everybody else, I think, is like small at the bottom. Like they really led with him on it, but it was a real ensemble movie that just didn't click. Okay, so this is a wild turn of events because Bill just guessed Mixed Nuts, right?
Correct.
Okay, so that put Bill in a tie with Jeff, and I'm sad to say, Andy, that you are 1 point behind the two of them. So the tiebreaker is just going to be between Bill and Jeff. And Jeff gets to go first. And this was the top gaslighting that occurred to me that evening, because I find it bizarre that no one was familiar with this movie. I went out onto the street and started asking people. All right, Jeff. The top billed person is Mr. Nicolas Cage.
Okay, so this is the Family Man.
That was what I was hoping people would guess. You were right on that score, but not the movie I'm looking for. Bill?
Okay, yeah. Hold on. I'm picturing something. Is it... was that a Christmas movie? I feel like there was Christmas type stuff in that. I'm going to go Con Air.
Put the Christmas bunny down. No, incorrect. We move back to Jeff.
All right.
Are you ready for the second name, Jeff?
So excited.
All right. John Lovitz.
Oh, I know this movie. It's called Trapped in Paradise.
That is correct.
Oh, damn.
Jeff Tate does it once again. Jeff Tate is our winner today. Congratulations. Jeff, that movie also starred Dana Carvey and Richard Bischel. And three professional comedians who were alive when it was in theaters insisted they'd never heard of it. A movie starring two comedians and crazy ass Nick Cage. It was not a particularly good movie, but I still think it pops up on some of the channels around Christmas time because it takes place at Christmas, and the poster for it is they're like in a snow globe.
Yeah.
It's the three of them, and they're like, what are they? It's kind of like the Wet Bandits or something. Like, they're three criminals that go to a town and then get stuck there.
Yeah, it's kind of got a, like a, I remember, I saw this movie, Lost in Yonkers type vibe to it, I believe.
I was going to say Quick Change.
I was going to say the Dan Aykroyd one where he's the terrifying, like, mayor of the weird town. What is that one called?
What movie?
Nothing But Trouble.
Nothing But Trouble. Nothing But Trouble. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. that movie. Oof. That's a rough one. Because they, like, not only is it not funny, but it's also kind of gross. Like, there's a lot of gross humor.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
And, like, Dan Aykroyd's, like, the goes crazy with the disgusting makeup where, like, his looks like he has a dick on his face and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. It legitimately, like, it kind of scared me when I saw it when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's not fun at all. It's just disturbing.
It is upsetting. Yeah.
Like, Dan Aykroyd got too into it. Like, it's too weird.
So it's like a creepy version of Deliverance, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the one with John Cusack where he found, like, a bunch of money?
Money for Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Because all those seemed to, like, there were a rash of films where either people stole money or came across money. And they were stuck in a place where they had to get rid of it or, like, had to hide it or whatever. And, it, like, they came out, like, bang, 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 like, yeah, 92, Bill Paxton, 93, 94.
The Sam Raimi Bill Paxton one is, like, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, Simple Plan is great.
Yeah.
But that is a hard title, too. That's one of those ones that's hard to remember because it's just not flashy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it was too simple of a plan, as it turned out. It was planned by simpletons.
Should have been a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm. They should have put some more things into it. All right, Jeff, you big winner. But I want to thank all three of you for, you know, just making me feel better about my game creating skills. And, you know, apologies. I'm not trying to drag my guests from the last episode. I'm just trying to figure out this, you know, what's going on there. And what was going on there is that they just don't, they're not like trivia mavens like you guys are.
Yes.
Right. Right.
I couldn't have
gotten the Trouble in Paradise one, or Trapped in Paradise. Yeah. That was
Trapped in Paradise. You didn't recognize it.
I mean, I recognize the the actors and maybe the poster. I could never have pulled the name. I knew that it was like Bumbling Thieves. I just, yeah. The name, yeah, doesn't ring any bells.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely was like a flop, you know? So I can't really blame anybody for not having heard of it, but when they were all three saying, we've never heard anything about this. It was just like, well, it's already a kind of a noted movie because it's weird that Nicolas Cage is teamed up with two guys from SNL, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see it again because I watched part of it a couple of years ago and I didn't mind it. All right. So, Jeff, please promote yourself. What do you got coming up?
Minneapolis, Minnesota Comedy Corner Underground, February 2nd and 3rd. And okay. January 21st, I'll be in San Francisco with Doug for Fast X Interruption.
Yeah, that's going to be so much fun. Got a few other hilarious people doing that one with us, including Arden Marine and Dan Van Kirk. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be super fun. And then Jeff, we'll have you back on Zoom as soon as possible to continue your winning streak. Andy, okay. Wood, thank you so much for being here. What would you like to promote?
My podcast, Probably Science. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts. And I just want to like secret vision board this into the world. It's an hour drive to the nearest movie theater for me up here in Joshua Tree. There is an empty Cineplex. It's been sitting there for 4 years. If somebody with deep pockets wants to open a movie theater in the high desert, I think it could work. If you have the money, hit me up on social media at Andy T. Wood. I could offer my sweat equity and that's about it. But I really miss going to movies.
I love that. I love that about you, but also that, you know, that idea of like trying to just get them to reopen it. That'd be so cool. Are there enough people out there?
I mean, really sustain
a 4-screen theater?
Maybe not. And that's the thing. I think it's probably about like 80,000 people between the 4 or 5 high desert cities here. But, you know, there's like 4 million that come to the national park every year. And I guess you don't come up here to see a movie. But if it became a thing that had, you know, interesting programming and or festival, I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. If somebody's looking for a place to go.
You know, I see lots of celebrities like Instagrams where they're like, hey, I'm in Joshua Tree, you know, like it's a popular thing to go to and talk about. So like, I think like seeing a movie there, I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, if you do it right, you could probably get grants and stuff for it to be, you know, a historic movie house. And there might be a road to actually getting that done.
Yeah.
It's possible. I just assume that to get off the ground, this is like a 7-figure kind of thing. I assume it's a ton of money and it's probably a bad bet in the era of streaming, but you never know. Someone might just love this area and have a passion for bringing some good programming.
Yeah. Up. They might need like a write-off. They might need they might need an abject failure that they can dump a bunch of money into.
Producer style. Yeah.
Oh, you hear that? Movie producers. I know you guys love fucking shelving shit.
Yeah, reopen this place and then shelve it.
Speaking of which, are they? They're bringing back the Wile E. Coyote thing because everyone's so mad at it, right?
Yeah, no, the outrage worked. I mean, you know, I don't know if it always ends up being going the right way, but that was a good one. That I don't know why they should have quietly buried it if they were going to bury it, you know. But the fact that it just sort of came out. And everybody flipped over it because also some people had seen it. So there's a lot of people online talking about how, and it's good. Like it's a good movie. Right. So yeah, I'm happy that they succumbed to the pressure, but that's, you know, it's the bottom line is they just go, oh, that many people are upset. Well, that many people will pay, you know, to see it or buy it, you know, buy streaming to see it or whatever. Okay. So, Bill Squire, what do you got to promote, dude?
I had a special come out last year on YouTube. I'd love it if people will check that out. It's just called Bill Squire Pure BS. And just subscribe to my YouTube channel. That'd be a cool thing to do.
Those are your initials.
Yeah.
Like, that was me. I was verbalizing the sound of Jeff getting it. Thanks for being here. And, you know, you're welcome back anytime you have another special or anything to promote, or when I'm cruising through your neck of the woods. I am excited to come back and do another show. At,
absolutely.
Just some time.
Just filmed a new special last week. So,
oh, yeah.
It'll be out sometime later this year or later in 2024.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. So come back. And I've got shows coming up this Saturday. Douglas Movies is in Sacramento at the Punchline at How About Art and Mall. Sunday, also Sacramento, I'm hosting two stand-up comedy shows at the Punchline for New Year's. And then the Benson Movie Interruption is back at Dynasty Typewriter on January 2nd in LA with, it's going to be such a fun show. We got Scott Aukerman, Jonah Ray, and Zach Galifianakis interrupting a movie that you bring in. You bring in a movie, and if you're the only one that brings in a movie, that's the one we'll watch. January 6th, Orlando Improv, previously mentioned. January 16th, I'm at the Improv in LA. Also, previously mentioned, The Lab is our fun new spot to do really intimate audience episodes of Doug Loves Movies. DougLovesMovies.com is where all my stuff lives. Thanks again to Andy, Jeff, and Bill, and we're on time or whatever, but I just want to quickly ask you guys if any of you have a favorite last line from a movie, because that's what I like to close with, and I have something that I could do, but I wanted to see if any of you had a good one.
Oh no.
I know, it's a tough question, and also like some of the obvious ones come to mind, you know, like there's no place like home or whatever, Rosebud, but it's fine if you don't have any. Cause what I did was I thought it's not easy for me to find out the last line from Trapped in Paradise. So I'll just say what I think the last line of Trapped in Paradise would be. So thanks again, everybody, for listening. And as always, hey, we got out of there.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.